What do Noah and Peter share in common? I suppose the answer could be they both worked on boats. But the answer is bigger than that, and it's somehow related to football, and yes, that's a bit of a stretch. As Noah lived faithfully in a world that never really caught what it means to walk by faith, he took on a singular task. For 100 years of his life, he would be dedicated to building an enormous boat, apparently landlocked. And we can hear the snickers and see the head shakes. Have you heard about Nutty Noah? To be faithful in a world that largely either rejects Christ or manufactures its own idol-like theological systems and worship forms, it's always going to be a minority venture. Remember Jesus' comment about the narrow gate. Because we're outnumbered, we need not doubt our calling to live faithfully or think that it's a mistake. Minorities have been right before. Noah and his family alone, 8 people, received a calling to build a very strange project. They did not let go of that gift, which would ultimately be their deliverance. The famous chapter of faith, Hebrews 11, grants this 100-plus-year story of Noah's faithfulness a singular verse. And this is that verse. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he would condemn the world and become an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, I'm not just saying this because it's football season. The word reverence could be translated good catch, according to my lexicon. God delivered this astonishing pass into Noah's hands. Noah caught it and ran with it for 100 years through what must have been an onslaught of perpetual ridicule. And he and his team did reach their goal. To revere God is to receive his blessing, his message, and God himself, and hold all of that as a sacred calling for a lifetime of church building, faith walking, and love. It also means that sometimes a project designed for good, like an ark that's supposed to save people from a deluge, also has a ballast of judgment. It's not obvious, but it's also not simply implied. The cross of Christ is an ark, in a way. It was chiefly for salvation, but our Savior, shamed, stripped, beaten, ridiculed, and nailed to it, had a message for all. Get on this ark, or else shame, suffering, and death are an option. At times, it's right to tell our friends that judgment is coming. But of course, we can also say there's an ark built and waiting for you, Christ, his cross, and the empty grave. When Jesus heard the confession of St. Peter say that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus acknowledged that as a good catch of faith. And we are clearly taught that faith is God's gift. Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. And I also say to you that you are Peter," meaning little rock. And upon this rock, a word which, by the way, means large edifice for Peter's Christ confession, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not overpower it." Peter, like Noah, also made a good catch of the pass thrown by God. But we recall Peter's great fumble of faith, his denial of Christ. And in reverence, holding on to the ball, and mercy, he remembered that same confession. He was able to recover his fumbled faith and keep building the Church of Christ. You and I also fumble God's passes of being faithful or revering him. And yet, God is gracious. Peter could have held on to that confession, but he magnified the potential oncoming tacklers rather than holding the cross of self-sacrifice. You know, we call the church sanctuary where we worship a nave sometimes. It gives us the word navy. We are reminded that we too are on that ship, and we are called to be faithful as we await the coming commander who comes back. Catch that vision from God, and you will have an abundant life, reaching the destiny God charted for you, life forever with him in his home port. This is Pastor Robert Foote, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church, your radio pastor for the day.